Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Matthew.
Hello.
I'm Ben.
Hello, Ben. How are you doing, man? You know what? It's absolutely fair enough. When Tom's not here, the system all falls out of whack. And
I just don't know what I'm doing.
You think the intro is hello. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying hello. It's, you know.
There is something wrong with saying hello over the top of someone saying their name.
It's okay. It's nice to say hello, man.
Hello,
everyone. So this is a really fun episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. We've got the brilliant Celia AB as our guest today. You may know Celia from her wonderful stand-up. You may remember her from the MacFest episode of Flatshare Slamdown that she did with Rose Johnson way back last year, which we had a really good time with her. And we thought, why not get her on the Beef Brothers pod? And this was great fun. Another quick appeal for beefs, because we've got, you know, we have a nice little backlog. We've got a handful, but it's always good to have some more.
Yeah.
So
you've got to keep the beefs topped up. You've got to keep the beefs fresh.
That's the thing as well. I often find that the most, I don't know what it is. There's something about the beefs that have just come in that week that I go, whoa, if they've just come in that week, I really feel inclined to stick them in that week's episode. So beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. If you've got a problem with, it could be anyone in your life now, because we're now doing free range beefs. So it could be your landlord. It could be your partner. It could be your kids. It could be your next door neighbor, someone you work in an office with.
Yeah, we had a good office one in the ep coming up, and I do enjoy an office beef.
Yeah, because
it's good.
Because let's face it, it's quite easy to get along with the people you live in a house with. The pressure's a bit different, you know. And you also think, well, at any point, if I'm in a flat share situation, I can leave at any point. Your job, you're sort of you're stuck in. You know, you can interview for flatmates. They interview you, the job, and then just stuck with a bunch of randos, having to work with them all the time. So send in your beefs that you have with people you work with, even just people you interact with on a day-to-day basis. If there's someone in your local shop that's grinding your gears, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're gonna stop yapping away. Get yourself to the Patreon, obviously, patreon.com/PappysFlatshare. But most of all, the most important thing is enjoy this episode. Oh, and also, I think, Clarky, you want to say hello as well, didn't you?
Hello.
Hello, everyone, to Celia AB.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
So, Celia AB, hello. Welcome
hello.
To the show. How's it all going?
Pretty good, actually. I'm a tad hungover today. But
really?
I'm,
what's going on? What did you get up to? Because it's always interesting for me, because I'm obviously an old man with two children. So I like to live vicariously through young bucks like yourself and Clarky, who get to go out in the evenings and do things. What were you doing last night?
Me and all the young millennials and Gen Z, we had a massive party, and Ben Clark. It was a big party, wasn't it, Ben?
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was so good.
It's an attitude, isn't it? It's not an age thing. It's a, you know, are they going to say yes if we invite them, or are they going to make some sort of excuse about having to look after these children they've got?
Oh, the children were there. We were all... This is really sad, actually. I've stopped drinking, basically. Not for any dark reasons, just because I'm enjoying having my head being clear. Mm-hmm. But that means that I get hangover so quickly now that I had one pint of Guinness last night and I feel like dirt today.
No.
Right, yeah. See, that's another great reason to not stop drinking. Just...
plow through.
Oh, is there a certain level?
Yeah, at least if you go, well, it was 7 pints of Guinness, you go, well, I earned it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've earned this green poo.
but I'm good otherwise. I'm having a nice cup of tea. I've become, I think I've developed mid-30s energy.
Oh, yeah. Which is drinking tea and being hungover after one Guinness.
Sometimes I drink tea and look out a window. I do that for a bit.
Oh, my goodness.
I think that's mid-50s energy, isn't it? I'm not sure that's...
Yeah, I was going to say, I've not reached that stage yet.
I'm really mature for my age.
Yeah. You're an old soul, is what you are. You're an old soul.
Yeah.
What's outside your window? What are you looking at?
Do you want to see? I mean, this is...
Well, it's an audio podcast, but it's a nice view, though.
It's nice. It's got my neighbors are constantly having parties, and I kind of feel like Rear Windows. Have you seen that film?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but doesn't someone get murdered in that?
Yeah, but like one day I saw someone come out, and like it looks like they were digging something up, and I was like, oh, there we go. It's happening.
You think they think they're burying bodies?
Yeah, I think if I saw my neighbors commit a murder, I don't think I'd say anything. I think I would like zip it up, not say anything.
Would you tell them that you knew, but that you weren't going to tell anyone, or would you keep it complete? Because it's that tricky thing, because you could say to the person, look, I know you're a murderer, but it's all right. I'm not going to tell anyone. And then you hope that they would go, fine, you're on my side, I'm not going to murder you or murder two doors down. But then, of course, you do run the risk of, you know, you've basically incriminated yourself there, that you know that you're onto them, and they think, well, how can I sell you?
I think I would try to get them on my side, so I would sort of like walk past them saying things like, oh God, I love murdering. I wish I met someone. Like, don't you love murdering this time of year? And then just really get them on side.
Paint yourself as a sort of murder stan, you know. I'm not like, it's not necessarily like I've committed a load of murders myself, but I definitely am into the sort of hot general vibe of murdering and murderers.
That's what I would do. I'll wear the t-shirt.
And so we know about your neighbours, but what kind of a person are you to live with? Do you have housemates? Do you have flatmates?
I do. I've got uno flatmate. I've started speaking Spanish. I hope you don't mind.
No, that's great.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Uno, wonderful word, wonderful game as well.
I have uno flatmate.
Yep.
And she is...
Wait a second. Did you used to have dos and then you killed one and now it's uno?
Oh, no. And she's a landlady. And it's the first time that I live with a landlady.
Oh.
She is great. And it's so nice to live with just one person, because 50% of the time you're by yourself. So it like you pretend that you live by yourself.
Yeah. And also as well, the other 50% of the time you can pretend, because the landlady is literally there, you can pretend like you own the place, because you can go, we got to sort this thing out, you know, and you could have a conversation like it's actually you're going to have any sort of say in how these things are going to get sorted out.
Yeah, I have do you know when you first moved to London, most places you live in have like white walls because you're renting, so you just, everything is white walls, you can't put anything up on the walls. And so like my new obsession is painting everything fun colors, but like I think it's getting problematic because I'm always suggesting things to paint different colors. My room is completely yellow, the living room is like peach, and I feel like that's like a kind of a flex when you live in London to have colored walls.
Because I'm in my house that I own, but I've got white walls.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that's what I should have been doing. I should have been painting all the walls blue and making it look like Mr. Tumble's house.
Yeah.
And presuming you're getting the permission first, you're saying to the landlady, right, I feel like we should make the living room peach. And she's going, yeah, go for your life.
Yeah, I think when I moved there, it was already quite beautifully coloured. But I think there's like, I didn't realise I could have this power of just colouring walls. Because if you tell a kid you can pick any colour and put it on the wall, they lose their mind. And I think that kid is still in my brain about like, I can just draw flowers on. I can do whatever I want. This is wonderful.
Yeah, I painted my sister's room once. I'm not entirely sure why I did it. She asked for it. She said, I want a blue, and she had like a night sky scape on her ceiling. So I did that. So I did like a blue ceiling for her, and then like gold stencils of like stars all over her ceiling. Great. What a nice thing I did for my.
That's really good.
What a lovely thing I did for my sister.
Do you want to come around mind it for me? I'd love that.
I remember once my brother was, we used to share a room, me and my brother, for quite a long time, actually. I think until 15.
That's and true,
It is a bit late when you think about it. And he got really into graffitis one year and painted the whole room like graffitis.
So you felt like you were sort of sleeping under an underpass.
Yeah, it felt like.
Is your brother Banksy by any chance?
Uh oh.
We got him.
But yeah, I think there is like that's my current living situation. I'm really happy. I used to live in an awful house, so this is nice to live in a place that I like.
And what, like, because when I think of landlady, and I know this is a terrible stereotype, but I think of somebody who's a lot older than you. I think of somebody who sort of drinks a cup of tea and stares out the window. That's what I think of when I think of. But is your landlady of a similar age? Are you mates?
Yeah, she's about 10 years older than me. And she's really cool. Like, well, she's 37. Yeah. That's 10 years, yeah. She's 37. She's really cool. She gets so much done in a day that it blows my mind. Like, she starts her day at 7 a.m. having Spanish lessons.
Ah, and you've got the glass to the wall. I'm just trying to get some free Spanish lessons.
Hola.
Uno. Okay, I'll write that down. We'll use that later.
And then she goes to work, goes to a like gym classes that like she just her day is so optimized all the time that it makes me the comedian feel really lazy with my day.
Yeah, of course.
I'd hate that.
Would you?
I'd be like, chill out, mate.
But has it rubbed off on you at all?
Yeah,
I mean, you're awake now. It's quarter past one in the afternoon. That's early for a comedian. You're still, you know.
Oh, my God. I had to get up at 9 today, and that's my whole personality now. It's like, today I had to get up at 9. It's like, I'm going to keep banging on about it all day.
It's so funny how the goalposts shift as you get older or as life changes for you.
Yeah.
I remember you know, like, and back in the day when like, you'd have to, if you were working in an office, and I'm talking about, like, you know, in like telly jobs where the day starts at 10 a.m. right, the day starts at 10 a.m. I remember if they'd say, hey, listen, we've got a lot to do, would everyone mind coming to the office at 9:30, I would just go, how am I supposed to do that?
Yeah,
how am I supposed to do, like, how am I physically, it's going to take me 45 minutes to get there, how am I, what time do you expect me to be waking up? You know it takes me 7.5 minutes to get out of bed, brush my teeth, have a shower, put my clothes on and leave the house. So where am I going to find this extra time?
Well, I think it's like, do you know what's weird is when you get up really early for a flight and you see parts of the day that you've never seen before, and like seeing, like, it's like you leave your house at 4 a.m. or 4, let's say 4:35 a.m. and you see, it's like they're putting the set of the world together. Like, yeah, every, yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Like, you're seeing them. It's like the Truman Show. Like, everyone's kind of like, like, I'm a baker today. And like, it's, but I always feel better when I get up early, but like, I go through phases. Like, the past few weeks I've been getting up quite late, but then I'll have like 3 months where I get up at 8 every day. But I think it's normal when you're a gigging comedian.
You know, if you're gigging, like, you know, whatever, like up north, but you've had to travel home, mm-hmm. you know, it could be a 3-hour, 4-hour journey home. You mm-hmm. could have got in at, you know, like 2, 3 in the morning. It'd be mad to go, no, I'm still going to get up at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And go for a run, because you're just going to run yourself into the ground, aren't you?
I know.
Yeah, I think it's a, like people need to chill out about the morning. That's my take. There's like so many people that are so like, oh, what?
Best part
you
of the day.
You think that's early? And, like, my brother always does it, where I'd be like, oh, I've got... Well, it's just like, oh, we need to get off early in the morning. So, and he's like, well, what time's that? I was like, oh, we kind of need to be on the road by 8. What, you think that's early?
You know what, mate? As someone who has little kids and I wake up early, I still think getting on the road for 8 is early. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because... But it does feel like you've cheated the day then, doesn't it? When you like when you get stuff done before 10, you're like, this isn't... I feel like I've added extra storage to the computer of my day.
Yeah, but like... then you just waste the time later, don't you? If you get to 11, you've got a load of work, you go, oh, I just have a really lazy...
Yeah,
11
that's
to 4
true.
Now. I'm just doing fuck all for the rest of the day. Yeah. I feel like there's an amount of work you're ever going to do in a day and you pretty much always do it, right?
I think that's how I rationalize it.
So I could start, you know, I could start at 7 a.m. and just blast through it and get it all done by midday, but I'm not going to. I'm going to start at 9:30, 10 o'clock, and it's going to last till 11 p.m.
I'm gonna duke it out. I'm gonna convince myself I need a break.
Exactly. I'm gonna have as much to show for it as if I'd just done a really concerted blast in the morning and then spent the rest of the day in the gym.
I like to like do the same principle as high intensity training before my day. So like a blast of big things that I'm getting done and then just rest for a long time.
Yeah.
But also like I think sometimes I can convince myself that I'm getting stuff done because like a lot of the day is also looking after yourself and be like, I need to make sure that I'm like doing all the stuff that I want to do. So like I'll be watching Mad Men, for example, like I'm on my third Mad Men episode and I'm drawing and I'll tell myself because I'm drawing, this is work, but it's not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you're also drawing it on the living room walls, aren't you?
Yeah.
From the sorting out your beef. Shall we crack on with somebody else's beef?
Yeah.
Let's try and solve somebody else's beef. Let's start off with this one. This one is from Paul, and it is a Speedo beef.
Oh, hello.
What's a Speedo beef?
A Speedo beef.
Well, I would appreciate it if we called it Buff. Just for the purpose of this episode.
A Speedo Buff. Happy to call it Buff Brothers. Yeah. Okay. So Speedo Buff from Paul via buffbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Hi, I have a buff with my flatmate, brackets, wife. My buff is I bought some swim shorts, trunk Speedo types. I took them home, tried them on to show my wife, and she will not let me take them on holiday to wear, as she said they're obscene with the bulge showing at the front and there'll be kids on the beach. These are swim trunks that are comfortable and cover everything, so I can't see the issue. Please help with this beef. Cheers, Paul. Sorry, forgot to add, I listen to your podcast over here in New Zealand. I moved here in 2007, and I regularly promote your work to others here to listen to. Funny, when I hear Kia Ora here, I still think of the Kia Ora juice ads at the cinema. Just saying. Okay, that will do. Bye, Paul. Okay, thank you, Paul, for adding those extra details. By the way, Paul sent two emails, which I love about Paul, because he sent this first email, which was all of the business of the beef, right? Everything we needed to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little bit later, he went, oh, a few details I forgot to add. One, I'm in New Zealand. I don't know if that changes anything. Maybe it slightly does. Two, when I hear them say Kia Ora, which is the traditional New Zealand greeting, I think of the Kia Ora juice advert from the cinema. I don't know if that's a... these are things to bear in mind when we're dealing.
I like that Paul had to be like, by the way, I'm kind of your New Zealand base.
Yeah. If you ever have another New Zealand listener, it's because I've told them about it.
Yeah.
You know, the population's not that big. The chances are they've heard it from Paul.
There was a bit of like, don't worry about it, darling, but I'm telling everyone about you.
We appreciate it. If people in the Antipodes are willing to put the word out, we're not gonna slag them off.
Yeah, we do actually. We beg people to hear that quite a bit.
Listen, if you don't want a Sell Your AB New Zealand contingent in the form of Paul, then you know you're going the right way about it. So let's talk about the acceptable swimwear.
Yeah.
If you are, and we're talking about a beach holiday as well. This is not. He's not saying this is me, you know, on the beach in New Zealand. This is a holiday we're imagining. You know, we're possibly going abroad.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to know anybody. What is an acceptable thing for a gentleman to wear on the beach? Sell your AB.
Here's the thing is that I think that the beach is like a no man's land, really, because I feel like you can have your tits out, you can have a bulge come out and no one can say anything. So I think that I generally would think that it would be fine for a man to have, like, I'll go even as far as like the Borat.
The mankini. Sort of,
yeah. I think that the beach is international waters for what you wear. Like,
well, it's close to international waters. It's the beach.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But yeah, yeah. I the only thing I'd say about the Borat style mankini is
the only thing
I feel. Well, the only reason I don't think I would wear it is I feel like if you went into the water, I think it would have a dredging effect. You know,
yeah.
Like I feel like you would hop out of the water and you'd have quite a lot of little sprats joining you in your gusset.
Oh, sprats in your gusset is never ideal.
There's a sprat in my gusset. What am I going to do? talking of which, did I tell you about the mouse the other day in the
in the
house?
Did you guess it?
I've got
straight away. Imagining a mouse wearing a mankini.
Well, we've got a mice problem at the moment in our house, and you know, it happens every now and then. Obviously, we've got a garden that backs onto railway lines. You know, it's easy, and also, the mouse man came around the house and he said, "Look, all a mouse needs is a gram of food to survive a day. That's all one mouse needs is a gram of food. So if you've got that on your floor, it can survive just on what you're sort of dropping on the floor." And obviously I've got two little kids. We've got more, you know, we've got, honestly, it's probably like there's lakes of milk
on,
and Cheerios.
I've seen you eat.
Don't try
and pass it on.
Yeah,
I've got two kids. I keep leaving birthday cakes on the floor.
I should also say I've got a big mouse infestation in my moustache as well. They said that's where it started. I've got at least leave poison in my nostrils. So the mouse man came around. Today I was opening up the buggy to put my little daughter in to take her to nursery. There was a mouse in the buggy. I actually threw the buggy like across the garden. It was out in the garden when I was opening up, but threw it across the garden. I was like, there's a mouse in there.
No.
The mouse goes scurrying. But the worst was, like, because obviously our little cat Cosmo really wants to take out the mice. Mm-hmm. So if we do see him scurrying across the carpet, that's like the whole morning's entertainment for Cosmo, batting the mouse around, sort of slowly trying to murder it. Mm-hmm. And the other day I was getting my daughter dressed in the front room, and I was pulling up her pants, and a mouse ran across and like stopped in her pants. And as I was pulling up the pants, the mouse was just like in the pants, like a hammock. And I had to, like, obviously it didn't make any contact with any part of her body, but I had to immediately like then just like let go of the pants and pick up my daughter and just like lift her up, just like, no, because, oh man,
you need to move house.
No, the mice are not going to win. We're gonna get them all out. All it is that people next door are having work done. Every time someone has work done, they just go, right, we can't live here anymore.
Yeah,
we're going
yeah.
to live next door again. So that's what's going on. So we're but a mouse in the gusset. Oh man, really bad.
You.
Nobody wants that.
Oh my god. The mouse was wearing pants.
Although, actually,
if that's what you want to take away from the story, yeah.
And do you think it's appropriate for a mouse to wear speedos on the beach?
The little bulge at the front, the tail at the back.
Mouse smugglers.
I once moved out of a house because I saw a mouse.
Really?
You moved out?
It was in Birmingham, and I was really hungover, and I saw a mouse scurry across the floor, and I called my landlord, and I'd never seen one before. And he said, he was a terrible landlord, so he said, yeah, just get rid of it yourself, like get a knife or something. And I was like, I was like, well, I can't do that. But I still grabbed the knife, but not to it felt wrong to just walk around with a knife. Nothing happened, but I was like, it's mad that he said grab a knife and just try to kill.
Yeah, because I also think, you know, at least chuck it out in the garden. I know if you chuck it out in the garden, they just come back, you know, or chuck it out in the street, they just come back into the house. But the reason we use poison on vermin is because It's quite a clean crime scene, right?
Yeah.
Getting a knife.
I can't believe we're back on murder again.
It's weird to have like premeditated murder on a mouse.
Yeah. Also, this is a beef about swimming trunks.
Yes, we should get back to the trunks, really. Thank you. Clark, it's really important. It's really important
I have a tip
with these.
On swimming trunks.
Yes, go
do you
on.
Want a tip?
Yeah.
Yes.
If I go swimming on that day and I know I'm going swimming, I wear my clothes and then under that, I wear my swimsuit. And then under that, my work clothes.
That is a good tip. You really do get everything done in the first like 2 hours of your day, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, just you know, under that wedding dress.
So what's the acceptable? I think you're right. I think when you're on the beach, let it all hang out. You know,
I think it's a dangerous precedent, and also like you don't want to hear your partner say that to you.
No, I think that's men. You're right. I think it's men that it said like. She said that.
I think there's a bit of a free for all on guys in speedos in terms of people being like, don't want to see it. That's gross. But I think these enlightened times, we've got to get over it.
It's unfair. We need some sort of sartorial equality here. That almost every single swim costume that is designed for women is skin tight, right? Mm-hmm. Almost every single one is. Whereas men, the skin tight is frowned upon, despite the fact that, you know what? We got skin too.
I'm glad to be coming onto the Red Pill podcast, by the way.
We Trojan horse the men's rights issues in. But they're there. If you look for them, they're definitely there.
I do think that, like, on the beach, whether you want to wear... is it a burkini that's like all covered? Yeah. Whether you want to wear that or a speedo, I think that as long as you don't have a hard on, it's fine. And I think that advice.
Sorry, Paul just sent one final email. By the way, I always have a hard on. For your podcasts, as I'm telling everyone in New Zealand.
Here's the thing: I've seen bulges in my days at the beach. I've seen them, and. Sure. But I can't remember a single one because I don't stare. And I think that should be the thing at the beach. You don't stare at people.
No. Let people enjoy the freedom that the beach affords you.
Let and people feel the wind on their scrotum.
Because also as well, your wife married that bulge. You know, and maybe she wants to keep it for herself. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe she's like, I love the bulge at home, but I don't want everyone. You know, maybe she's worried that everyone's going to see your bulge and suddenly you're going to be inundated with offers of proposals of marriage. But just, you know, your wife needs to have a little bit more confidence that you're a good guy. You're loyal.
Yeah. In my head, the wife is like, don't wear this. But she like has her breasts out on the beach.
Oh yeah, it's a nude beach.
It is, yeah.
that's the issue. Don't wear anything.
It feels like you're more naked if you're wearing speedos than if you weren't, I think. Does that make sense?
Anything that draws attention. Yeah, I think so. We don't know what the wife's wearing. We don't but we're all choosing to imagine Paul's wife nude. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Drunk Jekyll and Hyde beef, buff from Emma. Dear pappies and guests, my housemate keeps telling me to fuck off when he's drunk, but never has any recollection of it, and is very apologetic when sober. What should I do? Emma.
Oh,
it's a tricky one here, isn't it?
Is
it?
That is tough.
I think that's an abusive housemate. I know we're going to have to make light of it, but I think that's abuse.
It is. It is an abusive housemate. It's one of these situations where, I mean, obviously, they've sent it into a comedy podcast, so this is not a cry for help.
No.
But, I mean, it's not great form, is it? And also as well, I don't think, I mean, who knows, really? But I don't think that it, I don't think it totally alters your personality.
No.
I don't think it alters, though. I think booze can exacerbate aspects of your personality that might lay dormant.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's what's going on here. And I'm not saying that is... in no way am I going, well, Emma, what did you do? I'm saying, like, there's probably a lot going on in Emma's housemate that he needs to sort of deal with himself. I would say the fact that the word keeps is a tricky one here, isn't it? Keeps telling me.
Yeah.
If it was he did it once, all right. I'll tell you a lighter version of this same thing. My friend Karen at university had a best friend who was a guy, right? And every time they'd get drunk, and you know, like, and that was like 2-3 times a week at university. You know, it was every time they'd get drunk, he would confess his undying love for her. Right. And then they would both play the charade the next day where, like, Karen would go, oh, yeah, he just did that thing again, which he always does when he's drunk. He doesn't really mean it. He's not really in love with me.
Oh, no.
And he would go, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't remember any of it, really. I don't. And you're like, oh, just like Karen, just accept that he's in love with you. You know, name of person who I won't name, just accept that you're in love with her.
Yeah.
And also start processing the fact that if anything was going to happen, it would have happened.
Yes. Yeah.
It's never going to happen. So just start dealing with it. It's because that's really what's going on. That's really what's going on in your day-to-day life.
Here's what I would do. Like, if he has no recollection of it, I would then start telling him that he said other stuff. Like, when you were really drunk last night, you said you'd cover rent by yourself for the next 6 months. and just like keep putting stuff onto him so that he has to admit that actually he does remember telling you to fuck off. Because attached to that, he did not offer to take you to Ibiza for free. So like,
yeah.
But like, I think that's called gaslighting for a good cause.
Yeah,
it's the name of a good podcast. I'm starting.
It's not all negative gaslighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Electrolyting.
Exactly. I think. I mean, it's a tricky one. This one, isn't it?
I'd say use the landlord approach with a mouse. Pick up a knife. Get to it.
I don't think.
Do you not,
Clarky? That necessarily that. This is the way to handle a situation like
right,
this.
Right, okay. Well, that's, you know, we've all got our own ways of dealing with it.
I think it's
it,
better you know? That you just pop them in a Tupperware and then just chuck them over the fence at the back of the garden.
Yeah.
Release them into a park.
Maybe
release
you can bring, like,
friends, yeah.
Get a novelty size double-sided tape and then get them to stick on the tape.
Exactly. Cause, like, put some peanut butter on the floor.
Yeah.
And when they're stuck there, bash their head in with a hammer.
I had a housemate like that once, and he was horrible. And I think that if Emma can, I think she should get out and get something else, because I think it does take its toll on you, I think, to have someone that tells you to fuck off all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's something I read on Psychology Today.
It's not one of those things, you know, when you see on Instagram, there's like little moments of calm. You know, like, you know, it's like, take a second, stop scrolling and enjoy a little moment of calm. It very rarely then tells you to fuck off afterwards, does it?
Yeah. Something about someone telling me to fuck off every day makes me feel a bit unwanted.
It's a very good point. Yeah.
He seems like a bad sort.
He seems like a bad sort, but... I didn't mean that, but but in his defense, it is me. No, I don't know why I suddenly came in hard with the word but. But for the sake of balance, maybe Emma does need to fuck off once in a while. No, that wasn't what I don't. Oh my god, absolutely the worst word. I could have picked far worse words, but still. I did have another point I was going to make, but it's gone now.
I feel like you're both embracing the men's podcast.
The men's rights.
Yeah, this is it. This is it. We're red pill the whole way.
I would say, you know, like, he never has any recollection, is very apologetic. I feel like you do need to tell him that apologies aren't cutting it.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
I feel like it's quite crucial that you don't let him off the hook too easily, and you have got to say, look, this isn't on, you know. And if it happens again, that's it. It's just, you know, you also, I don't know, Emma's living situation. Why should she be the one who has to get out?
I think it's like,
He should fuck off.
He should fuck off, yeah. Actually, why don't you take all of his stuff out and then when he's drunk, like, take all of his stuff out and then put them in a house that he's never lived in before. And then when he wakes up, he's like, where am I? And you'll be like, oh, do you remember last night when you were drunk, you moved out?
I like your version is takes a lot from Roald Dahl's The Twits, doesn't it?
Glue all his
furniture to the ceiling, shave a little bit off his walking stick, all of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I take most of my advice from that.
Words to live by. Right, yeah, but ultimately, yeah, get out.
But
stay safe.
And
he sounds like a great dude.
Thanks for getting in touch.
Yeah.
But seriously, fuck off.
Yeah.
Buff solved. Beef from the sorting, now you
beef solved. Hey, I feel like we did a good thing today, guys.
Yeah. I feel like we did. Totally.
Yeah.
Shall we do another good thing by trying to solve John's beef? Ben, you've got that, haven't you?
I do have John's beef right here. And this is an office beef from John.
It's a free range beef.
It's a free range. We're out in the wild and we're loving it.
Ta-ta.
Beef ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Dear Pappies and Guest of the Week.
That is you.
I work in a very small, very quiet office. To give you some idea of the environment, when somebody's belly rumbles in the room, I can tell whose it was. Such is the lack of background noise.
That's a hell of a skill, though. You've got to admit, right? The idea that, because you're not looking at the person, right? You're recognising people from their gastric gargling noises. That's amazing. Yeah. I don't think if I heard a bunch, like, if you recorded the belly rumblings of every person who lives in my house, my two kids, the cat and my wife, and then played
and the mouse.
Back, and the 37 mice and me, if you recorded those garglings, right, I don't think I could recognise them. Even if I knew that, you know, even if I knew the shortlist.
Imagine if you took all the garglings and then put them in the piano form. You could make beautiful music.
That's a good idea. Yeah. That would be, it feels like if that's not the rest of the beef, you'd be sort of disappointed.
Yeah. Well, the twist is he works on his own. So. So this being the case, we all have to do our best to rub along nicely and not piss each other off. Absolutely. Mostly, this isn't a problem. But we have one major sticking point. One of my colleagues is a massive fucking drag.
Oh,
she doesn't appear to have 1 ounce of enthusiasm for her work life. home life, friends, boyfriend, family, cats, anything, and it's impossible to take some days. She's even whinged to us before about how an ex-boyfriend shouted at her once, "You're so negative all the time, I just can't take it anymore." So it's not just us, it's clearly a persistent problem in her life. She's like a psychic vampire. My question is, how do we bring this up, stroke resolve this, without sounding like we're having a go? Thanks for all your sage advice in the past, John and team.
So you're working with a bummer, basically.
Yeah, someone who's a total bummeroony. Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it?
It is a tricky one because, you know, I read it out. First time I thought differently of it, but the second time I'm like, well, maybe she's just not in a happy place.
Yeah, I think I've definitely been a bummerini before.
How did that manifest itself? What kind of stuff were you doing?
I was just kind of like, and I guess I think we can all be quite cynical and bummer light. So I think it's like, it's weird with, it depends on the relationship that you have with her, because it definitely helped and helps, I think, to have someone in your life that's like, hey, are you okay? And maybe you need to stop listening to Mac Miller on repeat, maybe, because I think sometimes when you're in that place, you don't realize that you're so sad because you listen to sad music and consume sad things all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe, here's my solution for The Office. If there's silence and you can hear people gargling and there's a sad woman, play some happy music for a bit.
Yeah.
Like,
love it.
Like, play some like fun things, maybe a light podcast. Maybe not this episode.
No, this would be a bad one, I think.
Yeah. and like, I think if you're close to her, just check in on her, but like also, but don't do it in a like confrontational way. Just be like, hey, mama. So what's wrong? Do you want to go for a drink? And be very light and happy. And I think that
that's
might
it.
Help.
Yeah.
And you suggest, you could say, just calling her mama.
Yeah. Hey, mama.
Sorry, I did have to go back to that because I feel like would that make someone less negative? If you called them mama?
Can I try it? Are you feeling negative today, Matthew? We could try it.
Okay, I'll put myself in a negative mindset for the sake of the thought experiment.
Okay.
I'm trying to think, you know, is it, oh, bloody hell, it's a tough old world we live in, isn't it? You know, cost of living crisis and all this. Oh, hey, Celia, how's it going?
Hey, mama.
Oh, you know what? I did get a little tingle. I got a little tingle. I certainly got a few little mouse paws in my gusset. It certainly made me...
Can I tell you something awful about me that I've started doing?
Go on.
Yes, please.
I've been rewatching Mad Men and it changes the way I speak to women because because it comes out of me, I'm calling everyone princess and doll and
you've also been chain smoking.
Yeah, it's mad. I was on the phone to a recruiter the other day and I called her princess and I was like, that's not okay. It's really not okay that I've just done that. Because you can't say anything these days, and that's what we're here to talk about.
It's so true, and thank you very much for coming on the Red Pill podcast. What about treat this like a game, okay? Treat this like a game and go, okay, today I'm going to get her to moan about something that everybody likes, right? You know?
Like, yeah.
So if she, right, fair enough, you know, she's moaning about her work and, you know, home life and all that kind of stuff and her family, fine. I think everyone can kind of work out why people would moan about those sort of things. But you've got to go like, you know, okay, your challenge is go over and chat to her about toffee apples. See what pisses her off about them.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I feel like that could be, you know, if you can't stop her from being negative, just try and like eke out the most fun bits of negativity out of her.
Yeah. And also like, there's a thing about it where like, what if the only place where she feels safe is the office?
Yeah,
and like,
good point.
And everyone hates her, but like, she's like, I hate my life, I hate my cat, I'm so glad I have my friends in the office.
Do you know, I think the problem we have with Celia as a guest, very good guest, very funny guest, way too much empathy. I think it's not something that we normally have here on Beef Brothers.
What can I say? You've got... there needs to be some good guys in this world. But also there's a thing of like with her where like if you can get her to rant about toffee apples, record that because that's going to make a really good like stand-up bit for the right comedian.
Yeah, like, absolutely. This is it, John. You may have found your new career.
Mm-hmm.
Record everything she says, take it down up the creek.
Yeah.
See what happens. Go and do Sunday special on the weekend.
Get her on this podcast. We've had too much empathy lately. We've had
too much empathy. Let's have a little bit of genuine negativity and bile. Actually, we bring that. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, we got plenty.
Well, John, I hope that solved your problem. Even if it didn't, here's the jingle. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
So, Celia, have you got a beef that you would like us, two men's rights activists with no empathy whatsoever, to solve for you, a very sorted 27-year-old comedian?
I think you're going to hate this, actually.
Okay, I can't wait.
So I lived in many terrible houses, Matthew. I lived in many, many terrible houses. My most recent house, except for this one, I lived in, had mold issues, which made me sick for a long time.
Oh, no.
So I was very sick. I lived in a small room. With a couple of housemates that I didn't particularly like living with. And I don't want to talk about any of it. What I want to talk about is my new landlady. It's too goddamn lovely.
Oh, no. Come on.
And it's...
She lets you paint the walls any color you like.
Yeah, she's too empathetic. It's ruining my stand-up. I don't have anything to talk about. I don't... we work the same way. Like, we... a thing I do in my house... is I put myself a glass of water, then I drink four sips of it, then I put it down, and then I get thirsty again, so I go get another glass of water, and then I just kind of like...
You're living in the film Signs.
Yeah, I just keep Hansel and Gretel-ing myself in the house with glasses of water, but just leaving them everywhere I've been. And I've lived in many houses where people thought that was a problem. She does the same. It's too nice.
Does that not mean you're constantly picking up a glass of water and going, oh, no, not only is this a glass of water 3 days old, it's also somebody else's 3 day old water?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. Yesterday, I've dropped two glasses of water on the floor. And that's like, that was the beginning of it. She's too lovely. We have a cleaning rota that suits my schedule. The rent is good. It's well located.
There's a simple solution to this, and I think it's been staring us right in the face.
What is it?
What you need to do is you need to get yourself a couple more cans of Guinness down your throat.
Yeah.
And tell her to fuck off.
And then, there it is.
And then the next morning, just go, listen, I've got no memory of that.
Oh, thank you.
And then suddenly she'll be like, oh, yeah, maybe Celia isn't this wonderful person who is really similar to me in loads of different ways, and I love being her landlady.
Yeah. There's that. Also, she loves... Do you know what? We're very free in the house. I let her wear Speedos whenever she wants.
She's wearing Speedos. You've got your tits out. It's great.
Sometimes it's just me and her on the couch, surrounded by glasses of water, both wearing Speedos.
It does sound sort of perfect.
Yeah, it's ruining my stand-up because I'm like, it's made my stand-up too lovely and I'm just too happy in my day-to-day. I mean, today I've been a bore because I'm too happy. It's just been, you know.
I was going to say, actually, yeah.
I have an idea.
Yeah, go on.
I need to Airbnb Emma's house.
And this is what you need to do, yeah. You swap out. You know what? We'll get in touch with Emma. We'll. You can swap details.
Yeah.
Emma can go to yours for a little bit, just for a bit of R&R, a bit of respite. Mm-hmm. And you can go and be told to fuck off yourself.
And then I'll immediately... write a new hour. The second I get told to fuck off, I'll just...
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I can't be your muse.
Yeah. And then I'll... And then I'll be so angry and I'll have so much anger inside of me that I'll produce really good work. And then they can play that to cheer up the woman in the office.
It all fits together. You know what? I think you've come up with a brilliant idea. And this is what we should be marketing here for the untortured artists, because so many artists these days, especially in comedy, are sweet, nice, middle-class people who've never suffered a day in their life. And as a result, we're not getting the edgy comedy that the alternative comedy boom of the 1980s came about because of personal dissatisfaction with the way the world was. People are just too damn cozy and content. We need a hotline where you can call up and be told to go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what you need.
That's exactly why I chose to, from a very young age, I was like, I want to make sure my parents get divorced and we have money issues. Straight away, age five, I was like, this is going to be, it's an investment.
Absolutely right. And you were right to cause your parents' divorce. And I know a lot of people tell you, I mean, I'm sure your parents said you didn't cause their divorce, but you did, and you were right to.
Yeah, I was drunk and I have no recollection of it.
Now that version of the parent trap, I would love to
Celia, AB, thank you so much for coming on the pod. It's been a
thank
total pleasure having
me.
You on. Oh, it's been a real pleasure having you on. So where can people find you? What have you got coming up? What's
I'm
going
to give
life?
You an exclusive.
Exclusive.
Now we're talking.
Exclusive. So I'm on Twitter and Instagram, blah, 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 AB Celia. I'm going to be at the Fringe this year. No one knows it yet. But the show is called Second Rodeo.
Great.
And it is really fun. I've really enjoyed it. And it's directed by Mike Wozniak.
Fantastic.
And it's a bit of fun. And I'll announce where days. And when it is next month. But I'm really excited about it. And I think that Papi's audience, the wacky guys, I think they quite like weirder stuff, and it is right up that street.
Great.
That sounds amazing.
Fantastic. Oh, well, fantastic. Good luck with it. Good luck up at the Fringe.
Thank you.
Are you doing MacFest or any of those things in the
yes
in the run up to it? So you're doing MacFest.
I can't wait for
that. That's where we first had you on the on Flatshare Slamdown, was at MacFest.
Yeah. When I was drunk.
It was a good, still drunk from the night before, yeah. It's nice to meet you hungover now, because I've only ever seen you drunk, so it's great to see what you're like hungover.
It's good to see, it's better, isn't it, really?
The coin. Yeah.
I'm going to Mac. I'm very excited. Are you guys going?
We're not this year, unfortunately. No.
Oh, no.
It's a real shame. We'd love to be there.
It was too fun last year.
We had too much fun. We have to let our fun valves lay fallow for a bit.
Yeah.
Let all our fun go back.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at Mac. I'm also going to be doing Work in Progress is Everywhere for the new show. And London, where I live, the next one is an Angel. Oh, no, it's at the Pleasance Islington on the 20th. And I hope people go.
Well, go along Fantastic. To the Pleasance if you can.
Yeah, do check that out. It's great to see a show in preview. It's always so much fun.
It is. It really is. It's so much fun. You know what, as well? I do like a show I especially enjoy seeing in preview, going and seeing it again up at the Fringe and going, that bit's now worked out. Or that bit wasn't in there. Or whatever happened to that? You know, my favourite thing, that anyone who's ever seen a show of mine in preview comes up to me and will always go, what happened to that bit? And you go, oh, were you at that show? Because that's the only time that's ever worked.
Yeah.
That was the, you know, did you say, and often it'd be like, did you see it at MacFest? Yeah, none of that material worked anywhere else. They're just a really nice audience.
It's also like, what I love about it is the, like, it's hard to know. With comedy, there's no exact science to it in terms of like where you should be with a show at what time. So I really like seeing other people's previews as well to be like, oh, I need to hurry up. Or, oh, actually, I can chill out with like how much I've got. So it's nice to, even if you are taking a show, to go and see Work in Progress is as well.
Yeah.
And spy.
Yeah, you want to see someone have an absolute stinker just to make yourself feel good about it. So, you know, if you share a preview with someone and they have an absolute shocker, oh, it's not a bad feeling.
Yeah.
And I know, because I've given that feeling to a lot of people. I've given that feeling to many, many comedians.
Thank you for your service, Matthew Crosby.
Yeah, my pleasure, my absolute pleasure. Celia, thanks for coming on the pod. See you very soon.
Thank you for having me, boys.
Bye-bye.
Thank
you. Bye.
Bye.
So, there we have it. Another fine episode.
That was a lovely ep.
That was a gorgeous ep with Celia Raby. If you enjoyed Celia and you want to hear more, then get along to the Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare to get a whole bonus beef that's not in the main feed. A whole bonus beef that you can enjoy with Celia. What a treat. Get yourself there straight away. For just £4 a month, you can get a bonus beef for every Beef Brothers episode. You get a new episode every single week of Pappy's Flatshare Pop Round. You get all our old episodes. You get it all immediately. The second you subscribe, you get them all. And then even if you unsubscribe, as long as you've downloaded all the episodes, you get to keep them.
Yeah, but also don't unsubscribe.
Don't unsubscribe, but you can if you want to. You know, I feel like if you subscribe, even just for a month, you'll be so impressed with the quality of the output, you'll want to stick around for the rest of the year. I guarantee
you. I know,
that.
I did.
Clarky, you're there almost every episode saying hello, aren't you?
Yeah. Get my hello quota in.
A couple of messages in from listeners. Now, this one made me laugh because it's from our friend Billy. And it was titled Matthew's Last of Us Gaff from Billy. Made a gaff about The Last of Us, the gritty reboot of the computer game. Hey, at this point, I hope someone has said to good old Crossbow that The Last of Us, the TV series, is an accurate representation of an already gritty and narrative-driven video game. Mobile banking the series would not be adapted so easily. To compare the two is like suggesting
he's got you there.
He's got me. To compare the two is like suggesting making a film with the Lord of the Rings books is the same as making a film based on the dictionary. Love to you all, but come on, mate. Love you all, but come on, mate. Cheers, everyone. Bye, Billy. Billy, now you're absolutely right.
Yeah, you've aced
now, as I said when I recorded that episode, I have watched half an episode of The Last of Us. I found it too upsetting, so I stopped watching it because I've got enough stress and anxiety in my life already. But yes, you're right. Making the HSBC banking app into a TV show would be quite different. I said it as a joke.
What?
No, what? Clarky took it seriously.
Mate, I've been working on the pitch.
But
that's another month down the drain.
Here's the thing. Listen, Billy, if you're interested, this idea about making a film based on the dictionary, I'm in. I think this is a good idea. Because the great thing is, you know, like, they never knew Bond was going to run for that many parts. But you know the dictionary's going to run for at least 26 parts, right? You start off with just the A's and you work your way through. It's a it's a built-in franchise. It's got worlds.
Cinematic universe.
Exactly. And every year they're adding new worlds, right? I think this is it. If you're willing to get on board, Billy, I think we could, you know, the four of us, Pappies and Billy, we could make our millions.
I'm out. But you go ahead.
Anyway, thank you very much for getting in touch. One more message here from Tom. Now, last a few episodes ago, I read out a message that was from Tom, and I'd also written it was from Ben. When I was typing it out, for some reason, I wrote it was from Tom, and I was but it turns out it was from Tom. Hi, Pappies and producer Emma. I was the Tom who's not beef you read out at the end of Tuesday's Beef Brothers with the wonderful Poppy Hillstead. I enjoyed the Tom beef name confusion, particularly because a few years ago, my friend's new girlfriend called me Ben for about a month. And I just started answering to it. This was partly because I didn't think she'd be around very long, so it wouldn't matter. And partly because I couldn't be asked correcting her. About 5 years later, we're still friends. And she brings it up regularly and asks why I didn't say anything. Thanks for all the laughs. Love you, bye. Tom, brackets Ben.
Love it.
What I want to know, though, Tom Ben, is how did it come to a head? How did you find out?
Yeah, what was the moment?
How did she find out that she was like? Because presumably she heard you being called the name Tom and went, sorry, why are you calling him Tom? His name's Ben. And everyone go, no, he's not called Ben.
No, man. It's his nickname.
I'd love it. So Tom, Ben, please do get back in touch, Tom, Ben. We'd love to know how that story played out. And again, if anyone's got any stories about people calling them the wrong names, send them along, pappysflatshare@gmail.com. And if you've got any beefs, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com, or get in touch with us via Twitter or through our Patreon. Basically, if it gets to us via Instagram, whatever, it's got a chance of making it onto the episode. Anything else we need to add at the end of this ep?
I don't think so. Upcoming shows?
Yeah, they're all sold out, man. And the other ones aren't on sale yet. So we can't wait to see you at upcoming shows.
Keep your eyes out.
Keep your eyes out, guys.
Keep your eyes out, guys.
Oh, my God. I spat all over the pop shield there. Keep your eyes out. You know what? Tom's going to come back and he's going to be like, why have we got two new catchphrases? Greetings, Mr. Deer's gone. It's been replaced with a pause and then hello. And then cheers, everyone. Bye. It's been replaced with keep your eyes out. covered by Mike Skinner. Let's wrap it up, folks. This episode was, as always, produced by Emma Corsham. Caution team. Keep your eyes out. Hello.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.